Thomas, sir, I'm glad you didn't fall out that door. Open your Bible with me this morning, the book of Psalms. Psalm, 139th Psalm. Starting tomorrow night, we'll be having Bible school and through Thursday night. And so I ask you to remember that in your prayers. Pray for the teachers and the kids and the teachers and the teachers and the teachers. Especially the adult class. We'll be having an adult class this year again. And usually that's the class I end up spending the most time in trying to separate them. So pray for that bunch. Invite you to be part of it. Don't just pray for them, pray with them. Again, and have dinner for the Bible school starting around 4:30-ish. 4:30-ish, Don? Does that sound good? 4:30-ish. If it's not ready when you get here, it'll be that way. Just hang around. How's that? And so Bible school starts at 6, so remember that in your prayers this week. As they meet this week, I was looking over the material for Bible school, and some of you may have seen it. The theme for Bible school this year is submerged. The praise team took my button and run off with it. Way back there it is. Okay. I can't blame that on them. I did that. The theme is submerged, and the whole idea is their mindset. The lesson this week is that God sees what we try to keep hidden. That God can see the inside when the world only sees the outside. And so this morning, I want us to look at this psalm, and it's the theme verse this week. And for those of you that won't be in Bible school, you can say, we'll count y'all as being in Bible school this morning. And so we're going to take an overview of that passage that, again, is the theme. Psalm 139 has been declared by some to be the masterpiece, to be the highlight, the greatest psalm of them all. And in this psalm, David begins by discussing God himself. He talks about the omniscience of God, how God, he says, knows everything, sees everything, even the things I try to keep hidden. He knows my thoughts before I have them, my words before I say them. And he has that awareness. And David acknowledges that. And then he gets down to the last two verses of the chapter, and he says, based on your knowledge, based on your awareness, based on your ability to see everything, search me, know me, try me. And so David has done something here. He's put out a test. He's laid himself bare before God. And as we look at this this passage this morning, I challenge you this morning to give serious thought to praying this prayer. To putting yourself in this position before God. You want to pray something life-changing. As a follower of Christ, this is life-changing when we begin to pray this way, when this becomes our heart's desire. It is, in effect, if you can imagine, going to the doctor and saying, "Doctor, go for it. Doctor, here I am. I have unlimited resources, I have good insurance, I have all kinds of time, I have all kinds of patience, test me." Yeah, go for it, Doc. You know, run your test, your blood work, your scans. Can you imagine? I don't even know. I don't know if they know how many tests they could find. Imagine walking into your doctor's office and saying, "Doc, I don't have anything else to do for the next year or so. I've got, you know, money running out my ears, and what money I don't have, my insurance, man, I got that great Obamacare. I'm good. Doc, just run whatever test you can. I'm, you know, just hit me with it. Blood test, whatever." Imagine the test that you would be subjected to. That is basically, spiritually speaking, what David does. He walks into the great physician's office and says, "Go for it, God. Test me. Check me out from top to bottom. See the things that I can't see. Reveal the things that I don't know. Let's get to the very bottom of it. And so this morning I want us to look at this passage and see this prayer. David kind of gives a three-level, a three-step process that he is submitting himself to. Perhaps you've been that way with your physical doctor. The doc says, all right, we're going to begin. We're going to run an ultrasound. And if that doesn't show, we'll run a CAT scan. If that doesn't work, we'll do we'll go an MRI. He gives, and David gives a kind of a three-step process that he lays out. He begins by making a simple statement when he says, "Search me, O God." David submits himself to a complete examination. He says, "Lord, again, I've got all kinds of money. I've got all kinds of time. Test me. Here I am. Whatever you can find, top to bottom, side to side, front to back, Lord, here I am. You just run whatever test. You examine me." And that's what that word search means. It literally means examine. David says, "God, examine me." I think this morning how most of us are when it comes to a physical exam. We go into the doctor and I think from what I've seen, maybe men, we're a little bit worse. We don't always fess up. The doctor says, "Anything bothering you?" "Nope." "No, I'm good. You know, can I go now?" That's kind of the way we go, and I got to be honest with you. I know some women that way too. It doesn't matter. You walk in like, "Anything bother you?" "Oh, huh, I'm good." "I'm fine. I just come because it's time. I'm fine." David says, "Lord, I want you to examine me. Everything about me." I think of the song that Tommy sings. Some of you may have heard it, may remember it, about basically describing your life as a home, and how God comes over and walking him through the house, and you get to a certain room in the house. "Oh Lord, that door's, no, we're not going in there. That door's locked. It's off limits. That's where I keep the things I don't even want to talk about. I don't want to know about." David goes, "Lord, here's the keys. Lord, the house is open. Go into whatever room you choose. You examine me from top to bottom." You want to pray a life-changing prayer. You want to have a life-changing attitude. You just throw open the doors and you say, "Lord, examine me, a complete exam. You check me out, everything. You spare no expense. You don't skip any test. Lord, you look at me from top to bottom. You show me my attitudes. You show me my desires. You show me any sin, anything that I'm trying to keep hidden." And let's be honest, sometimes we don't just hide sin from each other. We get to the point where we even hide it from ourselves. We get to the point where we justify our actions. Where we come up with excuses for what we do. We pretend it's not really that bad. We pretend it's not really hurting anybody. You ever heard anybody say something like this? I get my temper from my mother. No, she still got hers. That's all yours. I'm redheaded. You know how redheads are. Well, I'm Irish. You know how they are. We come up with all kinds of excuses for our life. Well, if you had to live where I live, if you had the job I have, we come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. And David comes to the point in his life, for whatever reason, he comes to the place where he says, "God, no more excuses. No more explanations. No more, writing it off and saying it doesn't matter. No more blaming it on my nationality or my family or whatever else. Lord, examine me. Examine me. Show me anything that's in my life that displeases you. Anything in my life that needs changing. Anything in my life that is against your word, against your will for my life. God, I'm laying myself bare. Run whatever test you want to run. Run whatever exam you need to run. God, I am open before you." What I think David may have happened to David is David may have come to the place where he realized something. He realized, I believe, and the Bible doesn't explain this some. I'm speculating here. I believe David finally came to the place where you and I need to come. Is, you know, most of us, we go into the doctor, and every now and then, you may have this happen. I don't know. I'm a little more maybe proactive, I think, with my doctor in healthcare. They say, well, I'm going to give you this pill. What are you doing? You know, I remember several years ago, many years ago actually now, right after I came here, being in the hospital and in the emergency room. And they came over and said, I was under all kinds of those warm blankets, and I was all huddled up. They said, we need your arm. I said, for what? We're going to do an artery stick. No, you're not. What do you need to do that for? I knew enough. I've hung around the hospital enough. I know what that's for. That's testing for your heart. Wasn't nothing wrong with my heart other than it's cold. Nothing wrong with my heart. You're not. Why are you doing that? You need to go back and check that chart. You're not doing that to me. I never had one before. I heard they hurt. You're not doing that to me. You know, you better go back and look again. Sure enough, they come back in a few minutes and said, you're right. It wasn't for you. It was somebody else. Yeah. And you know, we sometimes get involved. And, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. David says, no holds barred, Lord. No holds barred. Examine me. Then David takes it a step further. Now, here's where most of us, I'm going to tie in this doctor analogy a little bit better for, I think, for many of us. David not only says, search me, O God, but then he says, and know my heart. He not only submits himself to a complete examination, he submits himself to a comprehensive experience. David says, know my heart. Now, the Hebrew word that is used, is translated there as know, is a word that talks about or means know by experience. Know by experience. Not just know of or know about. I have a saying that I think accurately describes. Many times somebody will ask me, do you know so-and-so? And I'll say, well, I know of them. But I don't really know them. I know of them, but I don't really know them. And I know of a lot of people, but I honestly don't know that many. There's a difference in knowing of someone and knowing someone. What David says is, Lord, I want you to know me by experience. God, I don't want you just to examine me when I'm in your office. Lord, get your bag and come go with me. Lord, don't just check me out when I make my every 6 month appointment. Lord, get your suitcase and come on over and live at my house for a while. How would that change your routine if your cardiologist, your doctor, moved in with you for a while? Some of you thinking that through. You don't like that idea. Some of you, it may not change you at all. You just have to listen to your doctor nag all the time. Some of you are so persuasive that when your doctor moved out in 6 months, he'd have high cholesterol and high blood pressure too. You know. But that's what David says. David says, Lord, I don't want you just to examine me when I come into your office. Lord, I want you to get your stuff and come on over to my house and stay a while. You know how it works. You go into the doctor. You been exercising? Yeah, regular. Regular. Every 6 months when I walk from my car in your office. Regular. Kind of like the dentist. Do you floss? Yes, ma'am, regularly. Every 6 months. Time I come here, when you do it, I figure you're doing a fine job. You been following your diet? Sure. Absolutely. Ever since I remembered I had this appointment. What is it about us? We'll make an appointment every 6 months, and about 3 days before the doctor's appointment, oh, I can't eat that. I got a doctor's appointment Friday. Yeah. I'm going to eat a salad for lunch today. Maybe that'll make up for the last 5 months of what all the other stuff. Yeah. We go into the doctor's office. Have you ever seen anybody walk into a doctor's office carrying a Coca-Cola and a Snickers bar? No. Yeah. We walk into the doctor's office carrying our bottle of water, our health drink, our smoothie, whatever. You know, we want to look all healthy. What are we trying to do? We're saying to the doctor, you know, it's kind of like inspection stickers on cars. Now, I don't know how you feel about those, but I feel like they're an absolute waste of my $30. Now, I'll just tell you how I feel about inspection stickers. I've literally known people who would take tires off of one car and put them on their other car so they could go get it inspected, come home, take those good tires off, put them back, and put the slick tires back on. One day a year, your car has, you know, it passes. The other 364. Listen, I look as I ride around town just like you do, and I'm riding around thinking, there ain't no way in the world that thing passed inspection. You know, it barely will run. I remember the guy, Rhonda got a ticket years ago, and he used to have the court uptown Kannapolis, and there was a guy in there charged with doing 55 and a 35. And he's pled not guilty, and the judge said, what do you mean? No, he said, no, Your Honor, no way I was doing 55. He said, how do you know? He says, Your Honor, I drive a 68 Impala. It won't do 55. Yeah, I see cars all the time. There's no way it passed inspection. No way. And David says, Lord, I don't want you just to check me out on the day I come into your office. Lord, I want you to get your stuff, and I want you to come live with me. I want you to experience me. You know, we get on our best behavior when we come to the great physician's office. We put on our best clothes. We watch our words. We choose our words carefully. We put a smile on our face. We're nice. We find our Bible. We dig it out of the back seat of the car or wherever it was the last time we were in his office, and we blow the dust off and we tuck it under our arm and we come in and we sit down. David says, no, Lord, I don't want you just to see me at my best. I want you to see me when I'm getting up in the morning. I want you to go with me, and I want you to see me tomorrow at work when the boss is fussing. I want you to see me tomorrow at work when I'm in traffic. I want you to see me as I interact with my family. I want you to see me as I deal with my neighbors. Lord, here's my prayer. Don't just know me, experience me. And I think, again, perhaps what's happened in David's life is David has come to the realization that all of us need to come to the realization, and you'll see this in just a moment as we continue through the verse. I think David has come to the realization that God already has searched him, that God already knows him. God already is with him. Because if you go home this afternoon and read the beginning part of this psalm, don't have time, but David's already said, Lord, you know what I think before I think it. You know what I say before I say it. You like me? You ever been talking and all of a sudden went, that come out of my mouth? You know, I didn't know that was coming. You know, did I say that out loud? I thought I was just thinking it. And there it came. David says, Lord, you already knew what I was thinking. You already know what's on my mind. My mama told Caleb years ago when he was a toddler, she said, you better watch your mouth, boy. I can't even see my mouth, my mom. Yeah, that's the way some of us feel. I don't even know what's coming out of there. David says, God, you know my words before I say them, and I don't want you just to check me out at church, but God, I want you to know me. I want you to go with me and evaluate every aspect of my life. See, most of us, we go into our doctor's office, and our doctor may run some blood work or may run some scan. They have a snapshot of that day. If you look at your lab work, many times it'll say on the lab work this date and this time. And so at that moment in time, this is what your blood work looked like. Now, if you're like mine, generally you go to the lab a week or so before your actual doctor's appointment. By the time you see the doctor, you've done had, you know, 77 Twinkies. Your blood work's completely different than it was. You know, when you had the lab work, you had a salad the day before you had your lab work. You were healthy. But now you've had your lab work, and you don't have to go back for 6 more months, and you eat like a hog since you had the lab work to you when you've seen the doctor. And you walk into the doctor, and the doctor looks at you and says, how you been doing? Doing good? Following your diet? Sure. Yeah. Anything bother you? No. Can we go now? Yeah. And we like to try to do that with God. Well, I had to try to say, God, here I am. It's Sunday morning. I had a salad for breakfast. I hadn't slapped anybody yet this morning. I hadn't cussed anybody out. I hadn't told any dirty jokes. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. Lord, here I am in your office. Everything's good. Can we go now? David says, Lord, I don't want you just to see me in the office. Get your stuff and come with me. Come see how I act at work. Come see how I deal with others. Search me. Know me. Not only does he ask for a complete exam and a comprehensive experience, he then goes even a step further. He says, Lord, don't want you just to search me. Don't want you just to know me. I want you to try me. I want you to test me. And then he uses that same word again. Know me. Test me by experience. Search me. Examine me, Lord. Experience me. Go with me every step of the way. And then, Lord, I want you to set some goals for me and see how I do. You ever had your doctor do you that way? By such and such date, we want your blood pressure here. By such and such date, we want your weight here. Let me give you some advice. I changed doctors a few years ago. I don't know if it's been that long now or not. But I kind of regret it because the doctor I used to have, this goes on the internet. The doctor I used to have, let me tell you a story rather than calling any names. You need to go on a diet. You need to eat this, this, and this. And I looked at her and I said, is that the way you eat? My advice to you is don't ever get a skinny doctor. I think the one I got now don't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. But I you know, when the other one tell me to lose weight, and I say, I go on a diet with you. You know, you get away with it. The one I got now runs marathons and that kind of mess. I got to get me a new doctor. David says, Lord, I don't want you just to know me. I don't want you just to experience me. Lord, I want you to measure me. What would you think if you had a doctor that never did a test, never did any blood work, never run an exam, never run an x-ray, never did any kind of test at all? Walk in and look at you. I knew it was still thumping. She didn't need to listen to it. If I did wasn't thumping, I wouldn't matter no way. You know. And said, all right, I believe everything's good. Pay the lady up front. Have you ever noticed there's a line in there? We get aggravated when they run too many tests, but then if they don't pay us enough attention, we get aggravated about that too. David says, Lord, I don't want you just to examine me. Lord, I don't want you just to experience me. God, I want you to take my life and I want you to measure it. Test me. See if I'm the man I'm supposed to be. See if I'm what I ought to be doing. I don't know about you, but I go to the doctor's office. First thing they do is want to weigh me. This is what weighing me looks like at the doctor's office. Yeah. You ever got ready to go to the doctor's office and start to put on a pair of shoes? Oh, I can't wear them. I need to put on them. Too big. I need to get a lighter pair of shoes. Yeah. They test you. Lord, I want you to test me. I want you to try me out. David says, Lord, I'm not content where I am. I want you to examine me. Let me get my knife in this crowd. I'm a billfold. I seen a couple of you, eyeballing the knife. Biltfold won't do you any good unless you want to drive my car. It's got nothing other than that. David says, Lord, look inside. Don't just know me. Don't just experience me. But test me. You want to get real brave with God? You want to pray a life-changing prayer? Memorize that verse. Remember these three words. Lord, search me, know me, try me, examine me, experience me, test me. God, make sure. What would happen if for most of us, if we went along and you know, most of us, we have a pretty good idea when our doctor's visits are, when our lab work are. We know something about it. What would happen if we had pop tests like you did in school? If the doctor just one day, need some blood. Just drop by to check your sugar. Just drop by to check your blood pressure. Ooh. Some of you are thinking that through. I got some of you scared, hoping the doctor doesn't listen to this. Give him any ideas. David says, Lord, feel free to pop test me. Examine my life. You want to change your life. You want to see your life change. You accept that attitude. You adopt that attitude about serving God. You accept the attitude that God, I want you to search me. I want you to know me. I want you to try me. Go through my life with a fine-tooth comb. Go through my attitudes. Go through my personality. Go through everything about me. Why is that? Why does David pray that prayer? Look at the last verse. David shows us two reasons, two things that come out of that prayer. Let me warn you ahead of time. Praying that prayer is life-changing. Getting serious about that attitude, search me, know me, try me, that's life-changing. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed most things that change your life generally involve a little pain. Perhaps I don't know about down at your high school, but when Brown used to have a sign over in the weight room that said, no pain, no gain. Yeah. Most things in life that are beneficial, most things in life, and not all things, but most things in life that, you know, have you ever noticed things that are good for you generally? I told somebody just this week, Pansy's husband, Bill, I heard him say several times when he had his brain hemorrhage, he asked the doctor, said, what kind I eat? What kind of diet am I on? He said, well, put it in your mouth, swish it around. If it tastes good, spit it out. You know, I think that's the attitude of a lot of them. And I want to tell you something. I'm not telling you this is all sunshine and roses. It's a painful revelation. Look what David says. Lord, search me, know me, try me. And if there's any, see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, I want to be examined. I want you to look me over. I want you to see if there's any wicked way in me. One of the things I like about modern medicine, you may not even be able, but my doctor, one of the things that happens is, again, you get your lab work like a week ahead of time, and then they get the results back, and they put them on not online for everybody to see, but they put them where I can access them ahead of time, and it kind of, well, it helps me think up my lies before I get there. You know, I'm just, you know, why is this up? It's Rhonda's fault. I like to see them ahead of time. Even before that happened, when we go to the doctor and they start talking about the lab work, I say, run me a copy of that. I want to look at what you're looking at. You know, I want to see it. I want to see the numbers. I want to look at it as well. You know, you got all the cards over there. Give me a few. I want to see what you see. I'm kind of a visual person. When you start saying this is elevated, I want to look at it. You know, I want to see the chart. David says, Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to try me. I want you to know me. And I want to see the report. I want to know what you find, Lord. What would you do if you had a doctor that ran your blood work, that ran a scan, and saw some abnormal numbers or saw something out of whack? And when you went in to see them, just said, well, it all looks good. Keep up what you're doing. Pay the lady up front. You always say pay the lady up front. What would you do with a doctor like that? If you found out, you'd change doctors, I'm sure. As painful it is when they tell you, you've got this, you've got that, you need to do this, we know it's for our benefit. David says, Lord, search me, know me, try me, and then give me the report. See if there's any wicked way in me. You see what David says? David says, Lord, search me, know me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me. David is not denying having any wicked ways. He's just saying, Lord, I don't know where they are. Can I give you another health care example? How many of us have showed up at the doctor, and the doctor run our lab work, and come in and look at it and say, well, I've done some numbers here, and you've got high blood pressure. And we respond something like this, really? Well, I know some people that's got high blood pressure, but I didn't know I did. I know some gossips, but I didn't know I was one. Well, I know some people that don't live for the Lord like they should, but I didn't know it was me. See what David says? Lord, search me, know me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me. Sometimes we look at people and say, Archie, you need to go to the doctor. You look bad. Oh, really? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. We're good at diagnosing everybody else's problems. You don't look good. You all right? I got to keep my eyes moving when I make that statement. Yeah. You don't look. You feeling all right? David says, search me. Know me. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And sometimes it hurts. David says, Lord, show me. But then look lastly with me what he says. Search me, know me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Not only is there a painful revelation, but there is a powerful redirection. Lord, search me, know me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and then, Lord, get it out of me. Fix it. Lord, change me. Some of y'all remember Jan Gray. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in around hospitals and things was, those of you who didn't, some of you who do know, you may have forgotten, Janet had a kidney transplant. And one of the things that she only had the one kidney, and so the one thing she had to be very careful of was anything she ate, drank, anything that, you know, any medicines, anything. So she didn't, you know, she had to take care of that kidney. And I don't remember exactly what was going on, but at one time I remember her being in the hospital. And the nurse came in, and Jan, and she's passed away now, so I'm not sharing medical information. Jan, you may have seen these things. Jan had this little basket, huge. She had this basket. She carried all her medicine in, and she went in, and the nurse came in, and with this handful of medicine, and said, "Here's your medicine." And Jan took it, and she says, "What's this?" She told her, "Well, I'm not taking that. Well, I'm not taking that one." Well, okay, I'll take that one. And she went through one by one. Oh, I'm not taking that. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. You ever done that with your doctor? I told you a while ago, I did it in the emergency room. I'm not taking that. You're not sticking me with that needle. Sometimes you got to. Sometimes you got to be involved. Here's the shocker. Doctors are not always right. But the great physician is. And David says, Lord, search me, try me, know me, find anything in me, and then let's get it out. Let's change it. What would you do with a doctor that walked in with your lab work and said, Tommy, you got A, B, C, D, E, you got this, you got that, you're this, this, that, this. And you look at him and say, what are we going to do, Doc? I don't know. You on your own, bud. Deal with it. Here's the report. Pay the lady. Probably wouldn't pay the lady, would you? Search me. Know me. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And then, Lord, let's get it out of me. Let's get rid of it. Let's not put a Band-Aid on it. Let's get rid of it. I don't know if y'all's house was like mine, but my kids thought Band-Aids could cure. Matter of fact, I'm not sure they don't steal. They can cure everything. Put a Band-Aid on it. Put a Band-Aid on it. Arm twisted all up around behind your head, bones sticking out. Put a Band-Aid on it. Let's not put a Band-Aid on it. Let's get rid of it. You want to change your life? You want an attitude, marriage, home, job-changing prayer? You get serious about this prayer, this attitude. Lord, search me, know me, try me, show me, change me. Search me, examine me, know me, test me, show me, change me. You can remember that. Mark this verse. Stick your bulletin in this page in your Bible. Begin to pray that prayer. Search me. Know me. Try me. Show me. Change me. It'll change your home. It'll change your life. As our musicians come, I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. There are some of you sitting here this morning. You're a follower of Christ. You know it. You believe in Christ. You've been saved. No question, no doubt. Can I challenge you this morning to begin to pray this prayer, to adopt this attitude of seeing what is submerged in our life, the things we've tried to keep hidden? Praying routinely, Lord, search me, know me, try me, show me, change me. See what happens in your life. See what happens in your marriage. See what happens in your work. You're here today and you'd say, Jimmy, I don't know Christ. I've never been saved. I don't have a relationship with Him. I've been in church, but this morning God has searched me. He has tested me and He has shown me. I don't know Him. I don't have a relationship with Him. You need to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can be saved and your life can be changed. Search me. Know me. Test me. Show me. Change me. Pray that prayer. If your life isn't changed, if you're serious about that, and you pray that for a few months and your life isn't changed, you can have the price of admission back from this morning. Hold on to your ticket, and we'll give you your money back. I promise you, your life will be changed when we adopt that attitude as we stand together this morning.